Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here this morning, hear and unforce thy word, sing songs, pray in your great name, Lord. We thank you for the good rain we had this week. We pray that you be with us as we go through this service and everything you do, we do in accordance to thy will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. First place.
It ain't
you got a birthday, please?
Yeah.
You got old bro.
Ron.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I may not always be useful or helpful, but I always have an announcement. I will call your attention to the prayer list. There are several new entries on there and things that have changed. So please look those over and use it this week as you pray. We do have at least two high school graduates this year. One is, of course, McKinley Horn, and the other is Ashton Wade Hawkins, this grandson of Danny and Marcia Patton. He'll be graduating in Beckley, West Virginia. So keep those youngins in mind. And I have two announcements. 2 weeks from today, we'll have a guest speaker from the Gideons. His name is Norman Klein. I don't know if any of you will know him, but he comes from the Gideon Society. Each year, we invite them to come and bring us up to date on their work, and we always take an offering for the Gideons separate from our own. So come prepared to hear and share. And then the other announcement is about my memory, which is failing rapidly. I thought Memorial Day was next weekend until Thursday. Sometime Thursday, I believe it was, I realized it's this weekend and I better get a different sermon than the one I had ready. So we're all caught up on the date. The other thing I failed to remember was that last Sunday, actually Saturday of last week, was my 44th anniversary as your minister. Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. And I used to, instead of preaching, would sing a concert for you on my anniversary Sunday, but I'm not going to do that to you anymore. I have a story about World War I. British Army made an amphibious landing at Sulva Bay in now what is now Western Turkey. And among those who landed was a soldier named William Henry Littlejohn, a sergeant. He survived the landing. He did not survive the war. What did survive the war was Littlejohn's account of a communion service that was held on the beach when they made that landing. And using whatever they had on hand, the chaplain led them in a communion service. And Little John wrote a little short poem about what he saw. He said, "Behold a table spread, a battered corned beef box, a length of twine, an altar rail of twigs and shreds of string for the unseen, divine, uncomprehended thing, a hallowed space amid the holy dead." That crude setting did not rob Little John's view of the compassion and the love of Jesus. He wrote about the table as it looked to him, but he saw, with spiritual eyes, he saw the divine power that was remembered on that table. Jesus didn't make any exception for ugly circumstances or makeshift tables. He did not require an ornate setting for us to remember him. He wanted his disciples to focus on the memory behind the bread, an innocent body sacrificed for our sins. He wanted each follower to relive the painful price of his life's blood poured out to establish God's new covenant. So as we partake today, let Sergeant Little John's poem rekindle in you this truth, that when our battles are the worst, we soldiers of the cross need to remember what Jesus did for us the most.
Men's zombie, 234. The night of the day, the wonder of the cross, 224.
Well, I surveyed
those that have lost loved ones. We especially, God, as we remember this is Memorial Day weekend, we especially ask you to watch over our military, the women and men that serve and help protect this nation. We really like for you to also be with those families of the military that have paid the permanent price of their life so that we may have the freedoms we have. And we also are so thankful, God, that you allowed your son Jesus to be put to the cross for our sins, and those that believe in him shall have everlasting life. And we partake of this bread that represents the broken body, and the cup that represents the blood that was shed. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. Lord, as we give back a gift of what you've given to us, Lord, we pray that you bless it and bless together, Lord. Lord, we pray that you watch over us and take care of us. Lord, as we're going to the memorial day, Lord, we lift up all the people that keep us safe, Lord, Lord. Of course, we lift up our military, Lord, but we also lift up the police and the firemen. Lord, it seems like all three of them are having a harder job these days, Lord, and we just pray that you would bless them in a special way. Bless their families, Lord, because they also have long deployments away from their loved ones. Lord, we just pray that you bless the church, watch over us, and take care of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me invite you to join with me in singing hymn number 486, first of all. Okay. And right across the page, number 485. Thank you. I think it's noteworthy that both those songs, so ingrained in our nation's life, both of them are prayers. Both of them are asking God to bless this nation. I think that's great. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 445. As we join in singing just the first verse, and then while we stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, this is the day of each week that we set aside to celebrate the victory of Jesus over sin and death, the day of His resurrection. It's also a day we set aside to give honor to those brave souls who've given their lives in defense of this nation that You've so richly blessed. We pray You'll help us to remember the sacrifice that so many have given to preserve our freedom in this land. And yet, while we still honor above all the Savior who purchased our freedom from the curse of sin forever, it's all about sacrifice. One political and personal, the other spiritual and eternal. So, Lord, as we go about our daily lives, help us always to remember how much we owe for both. And give us eyes to seek the sacrifice of Jesus upon which our eternal destination depends. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your patience with us as we strive to live for Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. But it was a peculiar sight. Very strange. 12 big stones piled up in a stack just outside the town of Gilgal. Why were they put there? Many people stopped to wonder when they saw this heap of rocks, because it obviously had been done by somebody. It was not a natural formation, but it seemed strange. And there's no plaque or sign to explain its presence there. Well, the story is found in the 4th chapter of Joshua in the Old Testament. Let me read just a small portion of that chapter, beginning at verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask your fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." So there's the explanation. These stones had been taken from the Jordan River as the Hebrews crossed the river on dry ground on their way to Canaan, the promised land. God had dried up the river for them just as he did at the Red Sea 40 years earlier. Joshua was instructed to leave this stack of stones here as a memorial for future generations. And when children, who aren't even born yet, when they would ask their parents, "What do these stones mean?" they would be told of the mighty acts of God, and they'd be encouraged to love and worship God forever. Pretty effective education plan. And it's a solemn reminder of how prone we are to forget. Occasionally, our memories have to be prompted a little bit every now and then. I know mine certainly does. It's quite obvious from the Bible that remembering is something which is also important to the Lord, and sometimes difficult for us. He understands that we are prone to be forgetful, and that's why Jesus asked that we remember him with emblems of the body and the blood he sacrificed for us. He didn't want us ever to forget what he had done for us. It's necessary to note that the words remember, remembrance, and memorial are found more than 230 times in the Bible. God really wants us to remember. Now, tomorrow, of course, is a day of remembrance, Memorial Day, set aside as an occasion to remember those who have lost their lives in the cause of freedom. As many of you know, Memorial Day was first called Decoration Day because it was a day where the graves of those who gave their lives for this country were decorated. But Memorial Day is a fitting time to remember the sacrifice of our servicemen and women. We also remember them on July 4th. We remember those who served and survived on Veterans Day in November. I think it's very fitting that we have several remembrances throughout the year because it can serve to keep us mindful of the fact that it's people who in many cases are just like you and me, who've gone to the battlefields and the skies and the seas to protect our freedoms. This morning I just want to share with you three things that I think are important for us to remember. And the very first one, we'll start there, is the soldiers who have died for our freedom. And when I say soldiers, I mean every branch of the military service. John F. Kennedy once said, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, and oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty." Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Giving up a life is a big deal. In the Civil War, 365,000 Northern soldiers were killed and 133,000 from the South gave their lives. In World War I, 116,000 Americans lost their lives. In World War II, 407,000 were killed. And yes, 407,000 were killed. In Korea, 54,000. In Vietnam, 58,000. 148 in the Gulf War. I don't have figures for Iraq and Afghanistan and now Iran. But more than a million Americans have died in our wars. And each one of them probably was loved by someone. This is a great loss. Every one of those men and women paid the ultimate price in support and defense of our freedom. We are free today, free to pray, free to worship, free to speak, free to assemble, free to vote, because of them, because of their sacrifice and the willingness. This is a quote from George Washington, and I thought this was interesting. "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be in direct proportion as to how they perceive the veterans of earlier wars were treated and appreciated by their nation." And that, of course, rings us back to the Vietnam War. But those who've died for our freedom, we definitely should take time to remember. And if you're able, I hope that you'll be able to come to the service at the National Cemetery tomorrow. What time is that, Chuck? Okay. All right, thank you. But there are other people that need to be remembered too. I think of those who've died for their faith in Christ. We're so spoiled in America. We take for granted the marvelous liberties that we have, and millions of people don't have these same liberties. I think it's important that we remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer for their faith. They're members of our body. We need to remember them. And I think we are prone to forget the courageous Christians of the past who labored and sacrificed and suffered to make it possible for us to gather here today, like we do. Now, we don't worship people or give them the glory, but it's certainly right to honor them for their faithfulness. It's estimated that some 43 million Christians have been killed for their faith since the crucifixion of Christ. 43 million. Some 26 million of these have occurred in the last 100 years. So it's not going out of style. Estimates are that there's an average of 150 to 165,000 Christians who are murdered for their faith each year. So this is not a matter of history. This is current news. And it's also been estimated that some 200 million Christians worldwide live under the threat of persecution. Since 1983, about 2 million people, Christians, have been killed by Muslims in the Sudan. That's just one example. Churches are regularly burned, while their Bibles and hymn books are burned with them. Ministers have been murdered while government soldiers watch. Christians have been crucified. Perhaps Christians should have a memorial day for those who give their lives for their faithfulness to Christ. I think that wouldn't be a bad idea. But we need to remember them. And the third thing that I think we should remember is that is our freedoms. Now, I hope you won't hold it against me if I tell you I think this is the greatest country in the world. I haven't seen them all. I've seen a few. And I know this country is full of flaws and we have a lot of division. And I would love it as if we as a nation gave more room for the Lord to be mentioned and talked about in our society. There are a growing number of areas, well, like the government, for example, where the name of God or Jesus are not to be heard. And that doesn't seem right in a nation founded on Jesus Christ. But in spite of its shortcomings, I still think this country is the best one around, and I understand why people from all over the world want to come here. Part of what makes this nation great is the freedoms that we enjoy. That may be the biggest attraction. We have freedom of speech. We can say anything we want to. Opinions about our government without going to jail. We can protest the policies of our government and even the things our military do. We can voice our feelings. In this country, you can make fun of the government. Ask a certain late night radio television host who was rather vicious in some of his critiques, but instead of going to jail, you might get paid by your publisher or your TV network. Yeah, you get to participate in a democratic society that allows its citizens to vote at every level of government. We can travel anywhere in the country without having to have a passport or permission from a local politician. We have freedom to work in whatever occupation we choose, at least until the boss gets fed up with us. We can own a business, or we can work for someone else. We can own a car or a boat or a house or several of these, depending on our income, because we live in a country that doesn't put caps on how much we're allowed to spend. We can own guns for defense, to provide food, or for sport. And while I know there are plenty of people who want to take that right away, it's still there. And I think it would be good for people to remember that the birth of our nation is due in large part to citizens using their own squirrel rifles to defeat King George and his redcoats. Them were just folks and their guns. And of course we have freedom of religion. We can publish our service times and our sermons on Facebook. We can open Bibles and talk about Jesus and sing about him. You can own a Bible. In fact, I would venture a guess that there are many of you folks here that have more than one Bible. On that subject, let me ask you something. When was the last time you thanked God specifically that you have access to the Word of God? And when was the last time you even thought about the fact that it might have cost someone his life for you to have that freedom? In fact, it really cost a lot of lives for you to have a Bible in the English language so you could read it yourself. There was a time when the church fiercely resisted having the scriptures being translated into a language other than Latin. It was written first in Hebrew and Greek. Then it was translated, the whole Bible, into Latin, a language that the common people could not read. We can set up websites that tell our religious views and political views. We don't go to jail for that. I can say anything from this pulpit that I want to regarding the scriptures and how to live for Christ. We can put bumper stickers on our cars that tell about our faith. We can write letters to the editor that express religious convictions, or we can put any of our beliefs on Facebook or other social media. We even have the freedom to be stupid in how we express our opinions. Sometimes that happens. But we have freedoms in this country that citizens of other nations can only dream of. That's why we have this rush of people trying legally or illegally to get into this country. And we enjoy these freedoms, but we enjoy them because of the sacrifice of people who didn't just talk about being willing to die, but who actually did die. Let me close with a story which you might have heard already, but I think it's very much to the point about remembering things that are important. If you had visited an old broken pier on the eastern coast of Florida on any Friday night prior to 1973, you would have seen an unusual sight. You would have seen an old man, slightly stooped, walking slowly along the beach with a bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them shrimp from his bucket. And why did the old man do this? Well, he was remembering. You see, many years before, in October of 1942, this man, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, was on a mission in a B-17 bomber to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur. However, his mission was interrupted, tragically, when the plane crashed in the Pacific Ocean. And for almost a month, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker and the other disciples lived on life rafts. The biggest of the life rafts was 5 feet by 9 feet. And they were in the endless Pacific Ocean. They endured the sun, the storms, the sharks, but the greatest enemy they had was starvation. After 8 days, their rations were gone. It would take a miracle for them to survive. It occurred. The miracle occurred after a worship service led by the plane's captain, William Cherry. They had a worship service, concluded it with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. And after the service was over, if you can imagine having church on a life raft, Captain Eddie pulled his hat down over his eyes and dozed off to sleep. And Rickenbacker wrote these words describing what had happened. He said, "Something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, but I knew. Everyone else knew as well, because no one moved and no one said a word." Rickenbacker moved his hand slowly, and the seagull remained sitting on his hat, and that seagull became the miracle from God. Its flesh was eaten, its internals were used for bait to catch fish, and the survivors were sustained, and their hope was renewed because of one seagull that was hundreds of miles from land. Ultimately, the men were rescued, but Eddie Rickenbacker never forgot that seagull and how he helped them to survive. He remembered. And I say we ought to remember. And this morning, don't ever forget Calvary. Don't ever. Keep your eyes, your heart, and your mind focused on what Christ did on the cross. He died there for you and me. And we ought to remember Him. And I hope and pray that you do. Every day of your life, remember the Savior who gave His life for us. If that's a need you have today, we'd invite you to come and make Him your Lord as we join in singing our invitation hymn, which is number 454, just the first and last verses. You all have an enjoyable holiday, a proper remembrance, and don't get drowned in the rain. Let's pray. We ask you, Lord, to bless the families of those who've given their lives for this nation and those who've given the same for our Savior. Every life is so precious, Lord. So help us to use ours to honor all that is right and righteous. In the name of Jesus, amen.